RK101. I think I spoke about this before, so maybe I could look it up and connect them to each other. It's there with Guna, with Rajaguna, with desire. I saw this NDE experience someone had and got that message from high from the other side. How was it? You should forget about time. Stop thinking, something like that. Just to be in the now. I can look it up and put it here maybe. And I, well, this started becoming popular on the presence and all that, that book, and that you should just be here now, mindfulness and all that. I mean, to me, it's like Zen, Tao. Isn't Zen Buddhism is about that? Just being the now. But I write it. I had this book there in my mind that I want to write one day, this Zen of Bhakti or something. So let me do it here for the time being. Yes, being present in the now, but what is the now? And what is the, that present? What are we present in? That's why I got into this cosmology topic, which again is much, much more and more beautiful that from the Bhagavatam than modern physicalist science. But yeah, that's on my other channel. But yes, I mean, we have that tendency sometimes. I mean, I can catch myself doing it many times when I review my life. That, what's next? How can I get that other thing that I want? How can I get something more? How can I make my, you know, get a better home? If I have an apartment, how can I get a house? And how can I get nicer furniture and make it better and get a better job and maybe move to another town and better? Of course, I mean, we have the grass greener on the other side and all that, but that very habit, I would say, that we might have, that how can we make things better? How can I become better? In other words, to know more, something else than what I have now. Because why? Because, well, what I have now, I'm not satisfied with. Look at the floor of this apartment. There are spots on it, and the landlord won't fix it. And then someone wrote today, nicely there on social media, that, who said it? I forgot. I can look it up maybe. That lousy apartment that you have would make someone who is homeless now very happy, and so on. The low-income job you have would be like heaven for an unemployed. And yes, Plato said this, which I love quoting. I hope it was him, but anyway. That person is rich, not who has much, but who has little desires and is satisfied anyway. We can be satisfied with the little. And I would say then, be satisfied with what's here now. And how can I say, yes, that's easy for you, spoiled Westerner Swede at that. Yes. Of course we should work to get our necessities and should have the right to have a home and food and clothes. I mean, a good government should make that the minimal human rights for their citizens, and make themselves glorified and famous all across the universe by giving a home, clothes and food to every citizen in their country, rather than using the money for competing with each other to fly out in space or to make the biggest, most weapons to kill the others with, who threaten our interests, our growth of profits, otherwise the world economy will go down. And so, yeah, that's the other side, when you're never satisfied. The big, powerful, greedy people. That's what Krishna talks about in the Gita, the asuras, demons, as Prabhupada translated it. But the asuras, the opposite of the suras, of the devotees, the good people, the wise, the people who live dharmic, in balance with each other, and God isn't God. So yeah, living in the presence means being Krishna conscious, because you're conscious about that here, at this present that I experience right now, is Krishna, is God. It's with me. And you do it in that consciousness. It's a service to God, to God's children, to help everyone here, to return again, not joining some religious institution, but connect again with our best friend and friends, and be best friends. That's the life of the Sura, so that's what we are really talking about here. Not about joining some little Hare Krishna cult, which it kind of used to be, and I guess some still see it as, but which Prabhupada never saw it as. He probably wasn't even familiar with these kind of cults, that these social bubbles that float off into their own little la-la land, that can develop in the West, isolating Because I think, don't think you have that in India. You have so many different, some very extreme groups of people in India, and they all live side by side, and there are the animals and the cows on the street and the monkey on your shoulder ripping off your glasses. You know, that's life there. And here's Radha and Krishna, Lakshminarayan, Parvati, Shiva, with us all dancing and playing flute and laughing, and then, well, maybe at us who are lost in this dream thinking it to be real. You know, that kind of worldview we're talking about here. So, being in the present, meaning you are in the now, and all that exists is the now, right? An eternal now, that's what exists. And we are always in that eternal now. And yeah, one of those points there, stop thinking about the future, stop thinking into the future. Of course, we could plan for the future, unless we're really on the sannyasi, Babaduta, Babaji stage. But then we may find ourselves lying in under a tree in the forest somewhere. Rather than sitting here. So anyway, I think that this is what is needed. Sometimes that Krishna consciousness movement and all that drifted a bit into ritualism and religion and institution, all that, right? But I now see it more from that kind of Zen Tao way, but the personal version of that, meaning not that we're just here and then now as some emptiness or oneness or some light, whatever. But we are here with God. God is in God, and we are here with each other, and we are eternal spirit souls, and soon we're going to be back again in that reality, right? But it is here, because all that exists is Krishna, is God. So when you are Krishna conscious, you don't see the illusion, the Maya, the Mahamaya. You see Yoga Maya, you see the Krishna and Krishna's energy in action. And thus, whatever is going on around you at this moment, you are beyond that, you are more than that. Even if there is pain, I mean, I hate pain. I think we all do, right? But then I at least learn that pain is in the mind. But when we find us there in such situations, painful mentally or physically or emotionally, whatever, take shelter of Krishna. For me, Shishikandarva Kagiri Darb, give me shelter under your lotus feet. Even meditating, crawling in there under the feet of Dharavika, sheltered by the Divine Mother. Oh. So yeah, in other words, Krishna consciousness is that. It's a consciousness, it's a presence. Consciousness is our presence, right? So maybe we don't need, maybe I don't need more than I have now. Maybe this apartment I live in is perfect for me to live in. And the income I have, the friends I have, the sons I have, it's perfect. And when I look back, quite a few of those years leading up to now, I would not say perfect at all. But now I can see back and say that it was a school. I had to learn the hard way, and I chose the turbo, okay? It gets tough, but you get through it quicker. But if that sounds heavy, I mean, all the way through my bhakti path, I wasn't suffering really. I just found sometimes situations around me miserable. So I can just tell you, youngsters, that it works. Because what happens then when it gets tough is that you, oops, go in there where you know reality is you, the Atma, Krishna, God, Paramatma. And the tougher it gets out there, the deeper and stronger you take shelter in there. And that's the purpose of life. Saranagati, just take shelter of God. At every moment, eternal moment, right here and now. And be satisfied with what you have. If you need something, God will take care and provide.